Good morning, Veritas. I'm glad that you joined us this morning. If you have a Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 1. We are studying through the book of Ephesians, and so we are in verses 7 through 10. I want to tell you a story, something that happened to my friend a few months ago. He bought a cabin, and the septic system got backed up, okay? And so he went outside, and he thought he found the access cover to kind of see what was going on in there. As it turns out, he ended up unscrewing the outlet itself. And little did he know, pressure had been building up. And you know what's inside a septic tank, right? Everything you flush down the toilet. And so as he unscrewed this thing, just a geyser of poop sludge and sewage just sprayed him in the face and launched up into the air and showered down upon him, okay? So that probably never ends well, finding the what you think is the access cover to the septic system. Now that same thing happened to me this week. It had been a while since I checked Facebook. And I thought, I should just get on there, see what's going on. You know, I don't check my Facebook very often. And so I click on, you know, to open my Facebook. And that never ends well, does it? Checking your Facebook page. And somebody had tagged me on their political rant and their just fury of, you know, political opinions. And how could I, as a pastor, not be supporting their candidate? And they tagged me and some other pastors on this thing. And I mean, it was like this powerful just sewage just came up out of Facebook and just showered me with whatever, just sludge and nastiness and vitriol and just rage and anger. And if we could just, you know, vote this person in, you know, we would have our problem solved. And I was part of the problem. And I'm just like, guys, why does it have to be this hard? Can't we just all get along? Can't we just have peace on earth? Why do you have to pull me into this situation? And all of us find ourselves at some point kind of getting sprayed with that sludge, right? And so this morning, we find ourselves asking the question, like, why can't we just have peace on earth? We all long for that, right? We all want, why can't we all just get along? Well, I have good news this morning. The book that we are studying in the Bible, Ephesians, is about peace on earth. God is going to restore peace on this earth, and not just on this earth, but in the whole cosmos. Everything is going to be recreated and reunited under the beautiful lordship of Jesus Christ. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, Paul says this: in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together in unity under Christ. So he begins. This is, he's saying, guys, heaven and earth are destined for this. Without our votes, without our opinions, it will happen. At the end of time, God will bring unity to everything and bring it back to a place of peace. Let's look at this, unpack this section of scripture. In verse 7, he says that in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, redemption. This word means to get something back in exchange for a payment. So if someone is in bondage, someone is in slavery, and somebody pays a ransom, they can buy you out. And Paul is saying, this is our situation on planet Earth, is that we need redemption. So the problem is this, as we to kind of frame in our message this morning, here's the problem. Humanity is in a hostage situation. We are in a hostage crisis. We are trapped, and there's only one way out. Someone is going to have to come and rescue us. They're going to have to pay the ransom price to get us out. Now, what he says is that we experience this redemption, and he says the forgiveness of sins. So the problem is not just out there. It's not just all the people out there that are making their comments on social media that are causing problems out there in the world. He's saying the problem is the sin in us. See, each of us are held hostage by sin itself. So it's not just, oh man, if we could just get our dysfunctional government fixed, if we could just get the right candidates, if we could just break up, you know, the Wall Street cronyism and the inner city violence and the racism. It's a much deeper issue than that. It's so deep that the problem is within all of us. And so verse 7, he says, there is redemption through his blood. So the solution is this. Jesus paid the ransom to get you back. He paid the price. What was the price that God had to pay to get you out? It was the very blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is strange, isn't it? Why would the price be blood? What is it about blood that rescues us out of sin? Think of it this way. Blood represents life. Right? I mean, think about if your body gets a severe infection, what happens? Your body becomes septic. You become toxic and you die. That's what happens when your blood gets an infection. And this is our condition, right? Our veins are flowing with this infection called sin. And so what Jesus did on the cross is he absorbed our sin upon himself. He took our infection and he replaced our infected blood with his pure blood that as it flows through us, it cleanses us in the deepest places. And so we receive the forgiveness of Jesus, the freedom and the life of Christ gets transferred into our bodies. And so Paul goes on and he says, this is in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. You know, I think Paul is just going on. He's using all these words, the biggest words he can find to say he lavished this on us. God is rich in grace. He's wealthy when it comes to giving people what they don't deserve. God is, he's wealthy. He's rich in grace. And the question is, you know, how do we respond when somebody has done this for us? How should we respond? I think the way we respond to what God has done, and Paul's just like, this is amazing grace, what God has done. And so we respond the way a hostage would respond if someone gave their life to rescue them out of their situation, out of their bondage. We would respond by saying, how could this person do this for me? Somebody gave their life to get me out of slavery. How could they do this for me? There was one of my friends came out, Troy Nesbitt. Drew was talking about him earlier. He's the one that asked me to move to Iowa City 7 years ago. And he's been a great mentor and friend. And he was out and got to join our elder meeting. And we were talking and he was just sharing one of the cool stories that back from Ames. thing that God had done. One of his friends recently gave his life to Jesus, and he wanted to get baptized. And so he said, but here's the thing. When you baptize me, Troy, I want you to hold me under the water for 5 seconds. And he's like, don't count to five quick. I want it like a nice, slow 5 seconds. And Troy was like, why? He goes, because I want enough time to remember what Jesus has done for me, to raise me from death to life. So Troy said, I did it. Put him underwater and he went down. And it was like, 1, 2, 3. And the guy started choking. No, he didn't. He pulls him up out of the water. This guy comes up out of the water after 5 seconds, and he was just rejoicing about the cleansing and the freedom of what Jesus had done in his life, washing away his sins, cleansing him of his sins. And this is exactly what Paul's just trying to help us get our minds around. He's saying, God lavished his grace upon us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us this mind-blowing mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. And the magnitude of what God has done to rescue us from our bondage is beyond comprehension. Last week, Drew was talking about our adoption as this is another metaphor of what God has done for us. He's adopted us into his family. And it says that before the creation of the world, he had us in mind, and he's chosen us. He's predestined us. And that left a lot of us just scratching our heads saying, what? And almost like, that's not even fair. Wait, if God chose me, that means there's people he didn't choose. And how does God's sovereignty and human free will work together? And I don't understand this. And some of us started to get into the weeds like, wait, this doesn't make sense. And here's what I want to say. It stirred up a lot of questions and maybe even some doubts. I want us to go to 2 Peter because I want us to see this. As Paul's reflecting on God's infinite wisdom by which he lavished his grace upon us, let's go back to Peter and see what Peter has to say about this. Peter was a disciple of Jesus, and he wrote this letter. He says in 2 Peter 3, verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters. Okay, so Romans, Ephesians. This is Peter thinking about Ephesians chapter 1, and here's what he says. He writes the same way on all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, no doubt, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Peter spent 3 years with Jesus Christ. He was discipled by Jesus himself. And here's what he's saying. Man, I read Ephesians 1 and I'm like, man, that's hard to understand. I don't get that. Okay, so if you're struggling to understand God's infinite wisdom in Ephesians 1 and this grace that he put on us, hey, you're in good company. But here's the point. Peter's saying, don't distort the beauty of God's unsearchable wisdom. There's a way to take this and to go too far that will land you in the weeds. You don't want to distort the gospel. And think about it this way. Aren't you glad that your little 3.5-pound brain cannot fully understand our infinitely smart God? If you could, you would be God. And so sometimes you just have to stop and be in awe of what God has done. I think that's what Paul is saying is listen, he has lavished this grace upon us with his infinite wisdom and understanding. Now look at verse 9. He said, He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. So he's saying there's a mystery that has been revealed. In verse 10, he said, and this mystery is going to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. So at the end of time, when God's story says the end, here's what's going to happen. Verse 10, he's going to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Verse 10 is the theme verse of Ephesians. The mystery that is going to be revealed. You know, sometimes we comfort each other with the words, don't worry, God has a plan. Yes, God has a plan. And guess what? We know what the plan is. You know what the plan is? God is going to restore everything that's broken in heaven and on earth. This mystery, he's going to unify all things. In Greek, it's the idea of, it's summing up everything. Everything that's broken is going to be brought back together. In chapter 3, verse 6, he says this mystery, he unpacks it a little more, and we're gonna see exactly what he meant as we continue to study through Ephesians. But he says this mystery is that now through the gospel, the Gentiles, people who are far away from the pagans, the people who are lost, that didn't know God, are joined together with the people of Israel to become members of one body and shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus. So that it's not just this ethnic people called Israel who get to be the special chosen ones. He's saying God is going to bring all peoples. And in Revelation, we see that every tribe, every tongue, every nation is going to be assembled in heaven. How is God going to do this? He says he's going to do it under the lordship of Jesus Christ himself. So our country is looking for someone to bring us back together. We're looking for someone to work across party lines. We're looking for someone to help bridge all of the things that divide us. We're looking for someone to fix the problems of racism and sexism and the gaps between rich and poor and the things that divide us, and someone to fix the problems in the Middle East. And we hear all that and we almost just laugh, like, who's going to do that? Well, guess what? Jesus will do it. It will happen. We are destined for this. This is the eternal plan of God. Genesis 1 begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and in the end, God will recreate the heavens and the earth. Everything that's broken will be fixed. Everything that's lost will be found. And how will he do it? Under the lordship of Jesus Christ, peace will be restored under the perfect rule of Jesus. You and I want peace on earth, right? We long for it, but you have no idea how badly God wants peace on earth. So much so that he gave his one and only son to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to be raised from the dead, to conquer death. And here's where history is going, according to the Apostle Paul. It's going toward redemption and restoration. So here's a question. How do we respond to this message of the good news that we were hostages who have been ransomed? God paid the price to get us out. How do we respond to God restoring this broken world under Jesus Christ? I want to just, three things as we leave here. The first one is this. Receive God's payment for your sin. receive the payment that God gave for you. Listen, the person that is sitting in your chair is not here on accident. Nobody is a Christian because of pure randomness. And if you are a Christian, like you are a Christian and it's not random. You are here because there is an infinitely wise God and he has lavished his undeserved favor on your life. And it is so marvelous. And so receive it. If you've never received God's grace in your life, open your heart to him. Exchange your infected blood for the pure blood of Jesus and be cleansed, be forgiven of your guilt, be released from your addiction. Receive the blood of Jesus Christ. Let it cover you and wash you and forgive you, as Paul says. He died to set you free. The second way I want us to respond is to practice thankfulness. Practice thankfulness. You guys know one of my guilty pleasures in life on Sunday nights, after a long week of ministry and life, I like to tune out the world and tune into 60 Minutes, right? And I just love this show. I know I'm inching closer and closer to 40. I'm like a few weeks away from being 40 years old. And I just love this show, 60 Minutes, right? I used to hate it when my parents used to watch 60 Minutes. But now I'm just like entranced by these amazing stories. And a few weeks ago, there was the story of Mary Quinn. She was a Xerox executive. I think she was the CEO back in the late 90s of Xerox, this major corporation, and she took a trip to the Middle East, to Yemen. And her, and I think 17 other people were taken hostage. They were kidnapped on their trip. And at one point, these soldiers come to rescue them. And these terrorists that had taken them hostage basically turn them into human shields as they're in a gunfight with the soldiers. And these terrorists tell them to stand with their hands up, and they're out sort of in this desert plain. And they're underneath these guys, using them as human shields. And she says, at one point, I'm just hearing these bullets whizzing by my head. Not everyone came out of there alive, but she did. And they loaded everyone up on the helicopter. And she says, as I looked around, I was looking around at the people who are still alive. And actually, they had the people who didn't make it out alive. They were actually in the helicopter. And she said these words. She says, I was reflecting on this Scottish journalist who I saw that had died. And she said, quote, I just kept thinking, it was just for the complete randomness, for where the two of us were standing, that she was dead and I wasn't. As I was watching this, one of my kids just started laughing. I was like, it was for the complete randomness? You know, for this woman, in a world without God, one of the scariest realities to living in that kind of world, where all there is randomness, is that there is no one to thank. It's just random chemical reactions and molecules moving around, and it's just fate. It's just c'est la vie, such is life, that's it. She had no one to thank that she was still alive. Guys, one of the characteristics of unbelief in Romans 1 is it says that unbelievers refuse to give thanks, nor to glorify him as God. And there's two ways to go through life. One is to say, how random. And the other is to say, thank you for saving me. You are in Christ, not because you are so brilliant and smart that you got it figured out. It is because of God's amazing grace that you are in Christ. And so saved people say thank you, not how random. So let us be a people that practice thanksgiving. And the last thing I want us to think about as we leave here is to promote unity by being the kind of, promote unity by being kind to people who you disagree with or who disagree with you. Promote unity by being kind to people who disagree with you. Certainly, one of the applications to God restoring unity to all things is that in church, in this new Jesus community, in this new society that God is bringing together in the church, we of all people should love one another. We should be kind to one another. We should never say a bad word about another person in this room or in the body of Christ, in the family of believers. We should not slander each other. When we speak to each other, we should be kind, gracious, loving. But I think there's also an application for people outside of the family of faith. I think one of the applications to this is God is bringing unity, so be kind on social media. If you have opinions, share them in love and with wisdom and discernment, as though not just like you're this impersonal rant and rage, but as though you're talking to the person you disagree with. Think about what you are promoting with your opinions and with your comments and blog posts and Facebook posts and whatever. If you feel compelled to express your opinions, do so in love, in a way that promotes unity, just even of humanity, right? And there should be a kindness, knowing that we are rescued people and we're talking to people who are in a vulnerable place, right? And we can share the good news in love. It was interesting. At the end of the debate a couple weeks ago, it was a town hall debate between Trump and Clinton. And at the end, it was just one of those. Remember, I started off the message just talking about just feeling dirty by all the junk, and you're just like, oh man, I feel terrible after watching this, right? And this guy, his name's Carl, and it was Carl from St. Louis. The last question, he gets up, he goes, hey, could you guys just say one nice thing about the other person? And instantly, you guys, this guy just, the internet just went viral with this guy, and people, he was trending on Twitter, and they were like, Carl for president, right? As the candidates said something nice about each other. And remember when they walked in, it was hostility and they were cold. And after they said something about nice about each other, they ended the debate by shaking hands. It was like, this guy's like kind question was so disarming. And I just thought, that is a picture of how we should be in this world, you guys. We are not mad that we've been saved, okay? We are saved and we should be kind and love people who disagree with us. And especially when it's brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, so another application is don't tag me on your political rant, okay? Because I don't want to be blamed because I don't support your candidate, okay? Whatever. So here we are. Jesus Christ has done an amazing thing. It's beyond anything that we could comprehend. Would you just receive this gift of grace and just let it get in you and cleanse you and make all things new? Let's pray together. Jesus, what do we say to the person who just sacrificed everything to rescue us from our hostage situation. We just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this right now as we sing and continue in worship. I pray that you would release us from those things that hold us hostage. Cleanse us from the infection that is in us called sin. Cleanse us from our anger. Cleanse us from our covetousness. Cleanse us from our bad thoughts and of immorality and greed and just wanting more. Cleanse us from our anxieties and fears in ways that we don't trust you. Cleanse us from our bitterness that we have toward other people, toward the people that hurt us. God, we live in a broken world, and yet we have been cleansed from the inside out, and I pray that you would help us to be a thankful people and a people filled with the love of Jesus. As we worship, just let the love of Jesus just wash over you and in you and through you, and to just bring life to you.